Tim Gleason. Formerly, Tim, before we went hit the air, he said that he was, it was jarring to hear the word retired.
Yeah, I'm driving in, Jake, and I hear you say retired, and retired. It kind of hit me. Like, I'm like, oh, man, that's the first time.
A dagger in the heart,
yeah,
if you will.
I'm like, that's the first one of those that I kind of got my get myself used to that, you know? And
so, 31 years on the sideline, 19 years as head coach. Take us through the thought process after the season, the thought process of stepping down like you have.
Yeah, I just, the biggest thing is I just felt like it was time for the girls to have a different voice and a different, just a different energy, a different way to look at things. You know, 31 years kind of doing things are relatively the same. You know, you change, you grow as a coach, but it's still the same person. And I just felt like it was time for them to see things a different way. Mm-hmm. And easiest way for that to happen is for me to, you know, kind of step aside. Mm-hmm. You know, I spend more time of the day during the middle school now than I used to. So sometimes some of those relationships that I was able to forge being in the building the whole day, I don't get to do as much. So, you know, it's I just think it's time for new energy.
Has it settled in yet? Do you think it'll settle in before that first game next winter, you think?
No. You know, I've asked people, like our principal, Luke Madsen, used to be the head basketball coach at Rochester Mayo. And I asked him how it was, you know, when he decided to call quits. He goes, it was awful. He goes, I had to change. I had to leave the school, you know, because I just couldn't. So I've asked him. I've talked to Mark Winter, who was the head coach before me, and had some of those conversations about, like, you know, what's it going to be like? And, you know, it's like he goes, first time they get on a bus to go to Mankato, it's not going to be bad, you know? Like, but, you know, it's been now enough time, and I've seen, you know, some of the team around school and things, and that's not easy. You know, it's a little, you know, like, you know, it's like, hey, I didn't do this because I didn't, you know, because of you. You know what I mean? This was a me decision. This wasn't, you know, the decision was, I think somebody can do a great job here. And and not that I didn't think I did an okay job over the years. You know, I just felt like it was time.
I think you did a pretty good job considering what you accomplished here. 31 years. I mean, you got a couple of state titles. You were on the sideline for a state trip when you were an assistant coach as well. You look back on the 31 years and it's the old, I don't want to say cliche because it's still very genuine when these coaches like you step down. It's not about the wins and losses, right? It's about the relationships you have on the way. But those wins and losses are kind of fun, right?
Those trips to the state, you know, yeah, I was lucky. When I was Mark's assistant back in 2003, we finished third, beat Prior Lake to finish third. And then in 16 and 17 to be runner-up in the state, we're just phenomenal experiences. You get done with those experiences, and you know, you've experienced some of this, is that you get done with that, and you wish that every high school kid could have that experience. You know what I mean? That, because it was just, like, you just get treated so well, and people who, you know, probably wouldn't say much to you before wish you luck, and, you know, there's signs out, you know, on your way out of town, you know, wishing you, you know, go Win Hawks and things like that. And, you know, that's why it's nice to come on here and be able to thank the town and thank people for their support, and thank you and the people who've sat in that seat before you who've been able to tell so many Win Hawks stories.
Well, none better than me, but let's not get carried away.
And we appreciate that. You know what I mean? I appreciate that. I appreciate the relationship that we've had over the years, and you come into our games, no matter if we'd won 17 games or one game. It didn't matter. You were there to cover the game and to tell that story of that game. And I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That's very nice of you. Look, I don't want to make it such a sad thing. Like, it's a great, I feel like it's hard to celebrate the 31 years when you just get done, because, you know, you look back at all the memories and what you're not going to have. But, you know, thinking ahead for the Win Hawk program, you know, do you want to be involved in any capacity in searching for the new head coach? Are you going to help out with that? Or I guess, how is the transition going to look like?
If you I'm going to let the AD and the powers of be kind of determine how they go about that process. If they want my opinion on something, I'll be happy to give it to them. You know, I thought I was coming in here for the interview for color commentator for you for next winter, but it looks like I'll have some time on my hand.
I would love for you to be on the sidelines.
So if you need somebody to, you know, be Bill Rafferty, or something like that. I don't have any sayings or slam bam thank you or whatever, you know, but I can work on something over the summer.
You got a lot of time. What about the national anthem? Are we still going to be playing the trumpet on the sidelines?
Oh, every once in a while. Again, and I know the boys coach Kyle. Mm-hmm. I've known Kyle since he was a little guy. So if Kyle wants me to come play the national anthem, I'll come play the national anthem. If the new girls coach wants me to do that, I'd be happy to do that.
I'll make sure he's otherwise, you can just play it on the air for us.
Yeah.
Speaking with Tim Gleason, by the way, announcing that he's stepping down as the Windhoek girls head coach after 19 years, 31 years with the program. Is there anything that stands out to you when you do this whole thing of sort of looking back on the years and having the memories flow in and out? You know, is there anything that really stands out to you?
You know, the hard part of this is I wanted to make sure that I kind of sat with a decision and made it soon enough that whoever the new coach could start and get it, have a summer program, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. make sure that whoever that is, they can move forward and get some energy moving. But just kind of the overwhelming, just like the people from different parts of your life that have come forward to just, you know, wish you the best and some of those things is overwhelming at times. Mm-hmm. And just kind of looking at that but you know, the thing you remember, and I haven't gone through this yet, but you know, I've got stacks and areas of former booklets from all those years and all of those kinds of things that at some point I'd just like to go through, and because you know, every page there's another memory,
mm-hmm.
you know, and every team had a story,
mm-hmm.
and you know, obviously we got to tell the ones of those teams that went to the state, but it didn't diminish the stories that some of those other teams had either. They were all great and all a lot of fun, and I appreciate them letting a band director by day be part of that, because you know you don't go a lot of places and find band directors who are also coaching.
No,
so the fact that I was able to come here and they were able to let me do that and kind of support that venture, I really appreciate it.
That's an interesting point you bring up. I wasn't planning on asking you this here, Tim, but how did that come about with the expertise in basketball and band? Usually it's almost one or the other, you know what I mean?
Went to school, you know, like I always loved sports. Like, you know, my dad was a band director growing up, so, you know, I was playing I didn't have a choice what instrument I was gonna play the tuba. He was like, all right, you're gonna play that darn thing. But I love sports. It was always important. I went to 3 high schools in 4 years. I grew up in Arcadia. We spent a year in Durand, and my dad kind of had a midlife crisis. And then we ended up back in La Crosse and went to Logan High School, pride of the North Side there. And then, but sports were always important in those transitions. And I found so many people who I resonated with as I went through those different schools and all that stuff, that once I got into the teaching profession, it just kind of felt natural that I'd like to coach. And luckily, a friend of mine got the head girls job, Mark Winter, and asked me if I would mind being his assistant, and kind of just started. And, you know, as not being the band director, the top band director, I was able to still coach and do the band kind of during the day, you know, and not have to kind of have pep band stuff or any of that stuff. Although there were a couple years when I was coaching football where I had a headset on and the marching band right there. So sometimes nobody knew who I was talking to, whether it was the band or the team. So that was, those were interesting years.
Well, I'll tell you what, I in my few years of covering high school, I've seen very few and far between as enthusiastic band directors as you are there while I watch you in football. But I do want to ask you, is there a game, is there a moment on the court that stands out to you over the last 31 years?
Well, there are a couple. One of them that I was just thinking about on the way in when I was thinking about, you know, some of the other people who have called their games, is that, and I still have this little clip, is that we're in Rochester, we're playing JM, and we had the ball half court, like 5 seconds ago, I call timeout, kind of draw something up, hoping to get a shot off. And somehow we get the ball to Dulcie Millick in the corner, and she hits a 3 at the buzzer. And Paul Van Beek's call of it was just awesome. Like, I saved that just because it was such a great call. And, you know, the other coach said, just like you drew it up. And I said, no, not at all. But, those games, obviously those games were at state, you know, that.
Yeah.
Although you get so, you know, like, you're kind of a ball of emotions when you're up there, that you got to kind of focus on what you, you know, I had to really focus on what you're doing up there. And, you know, we played Becker in the semifinals in Williams Arena. And that that game, we unfortunately lost our point guard, Jane Emerson, to an injury. And our backup point guard, Justine Schultz, came in and just played so well. And we were able to beat Becker in kind of a slugfest, like 39-36 or something like that in the barn.
Rock fight.
Yeah, it was. And but that was, what a great memory that was in those, in those games. And yeah, but you know, there are tons more of, you know, of things that you kind of pop into your brain, and obviously so much more that I hope I'll be able to remember now as time goes.
So what's next for you, Tim? What do you got on the docket with all this time you're going to have in the winter?
We're coaching track now, so.
From between
now and June, like, we're going to be kind of like into making sure we get, you know, like, I saw the forecast. I can't, like, we're not going to talk about that for the next couple of days. But, you know, after that, you know, hopefully some June, some time to just have some space and just see what comes next. I'm not, you know, there's not anything that I've got, you know, that was going to take the place of this. And, and that's okay right now. I think just some time to look at that from a different perspective. Like, I'm not, I told the athletic director this already, I'm not coming back to run the shot clock. At least not full time. Like,
not
you're
yet,
gonna show up and I'm not, you know, I'm not doing that right now. I'm gonna take some time and some space. I got a 95-pound Bernadoodle that probably will be okay with me being out a little bit more.
I do have one question that I really want to talk to you about, because we have a lot of conversations in a you know, sports talk show environment here about this transfer portal, and we even brought it up before we hit the air here about the college portal, but there's a thing that's the high school portal now, and it's not necessarily the same thing, but Where do you sort of see the high school game going, not just girls basketball, but boys side and really even in hockey, even in all these other sports, like being in it and seeing it firsthand, not just a family moving away, not just that, it's almost like a portal, and you see it way more in the cities.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on where you think the high school game could sort of run into trouble when it
things
gets
are
to
changing?
This? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that was part of it. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not associated with an AAU team, you know, and I don't have, you know, like I still, as a high school teacher and a person who was able to play three sports in high school, I still believe in a multi-sport athlete. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's real value in that, not just for the individual, but for the school. Like, you know, the school benefits when you get student athletes who can play three sports, you know, like the Adri Brennigans who you saw this winter, you know, and she just won the 400 at the Mankato track meet we were at on Saturday, you know, those kind of students. Unfortunately, you now see coaches who are also involved with an AU program in the off season, and it just kind of all runs together, and then you all of a sudden you get a student from another school that plays on that AU team, and you know, then all of a sudden they end up at school there, you know, and obviously, like you said, that happens a lot more up in the cities. You'll hear, you know, I've heard like horror stories of game gets done, player gets a text from opposing coach asking them to come to school at that school, and again, that's just crazy to me that we've kind of gotten into those areas, but you know, it's changing. So where it ends up, I don't know.
I mean, do you think there is real concern to be had when it comes to, I mean, that's crazy that you're playing an AAU game, you have a good one, and the opposing coach is like, hey, how you like to go to school here? I mean, that's crazy to me. Like, what does that do to the kid?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it just, you know, that's it. You know, and you just put people, because you know what, I was this way, I'm sure you were this way, when we're growing up. If somebody, like, I wanted to be liked.
Absolutely.
Like, if some adult from somewhere else says, hey, I'm
really impressed by what you did.
Right.
And you're like, holy
come
crap,
play here in Melrose.
This
like,
is
well,
sweet.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. Like, how do you not feel like sure, I'll come. You know, right. like, all that. And yet have allegiance to your, you know, where you grew up and the people that you grew up with and those teammates that you've had for a long time. You know, that's, I think we're insulated a little bit here. In a town like Winona, where you do get that, where you say, hey, I've been playing with this person since they were fifth graders or sixth graders, and I don't want that to, I don't want to lose that. I still want to have that all the way through. I still think that exists here. I hope it always will, you know, because that's the way I'll remember sports, you know, and But I don't know. You know, we're on shifting ground, you know, and obviously the stuff above that is happening. And you hear these colleges like St. John's and, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure even the state, you know, next to us that, you know, you're going to see the University of Wisconsin basketball team recruit a lot of high school kids anymore. Mm-hmm. They're just not going to do it. You're just going to live in a transfer portal. You're going to live bringing in people who you've watched play college basketball already. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what that's going to look like in a high school setting. You know,
it's almost spooky to think about it. It's kind of dark to think about it. I mean, I just think like there's kids up in the cities. One kid I knew played in Onalaska. You look at La Crosse and there was when the Davis twins were there in La Crosse, a stunning talent for Logan happened to move across the district line, right? And he goes to the central school now. So it's like...
Nobody in La Crosse has ever told me about that.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, it's that, like, how are we... And AAU is just insane to me because they're putting these kids through these massive tournaments, and it's like this year-round stuff.
And you just don't, you know, like so much, I think, so much of now the power of growth is in rest. And recovery. Mm. And I just think we're taking that away from them. Like, we're not giving people enough rest. Because, like, you look at a summer with a multi-sport athlete, you're going to play softball a couple nights a week. You know, we want you in the basketball league on Tuesday night up, you know, at UWL, but we're also going to have some summer tournaments. And, you know, in the fall, or if you're going to play volleyball, which is your next sport, in the fall, or if you're going to run cross country,
or soccer,
better be out there, you know, getting your miles in and getting ready to go with that. So, yeah, it's just those stresses that those student athletes are under are real, you know, and especially in a 15-year-old, 16-year-old body that you believe is indestructible at the time.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
100%.
And you know, up to the cities, like, you know, the state of Minnesota lost their best girls basketball player this year because she enrolled, you know, she already assigned to go to the University of Texas. So she enrolled in a prep school down in Texas instead of playing her senior year at Minnetonka. And you think about what a different state tournament that would have been if you take this player who is the best player in the state and you put her back on that Minnetonka team and you watch how that changes some of the dynamic of those games. You know, it's just, you know, that's just a different world than we lived in just a short time ago that you were in school. I mean, in the Stone Age when I was
I graduated in 16 and it was like you had to provide all this stuff here and there and you had to like it was so frowned upon if you were gonna like we always used to drill the private schools of the world because you could just enroll at a private school and it's just not the case anymore. It's just wild.
It's just unbelievable. And especially up there where there's so many schools in that area that are willing to, and you know, it's competitive.
Yeah, they want to win.
They want to win.
So. Tim Gleason, everybody, former, retired, retired Windhawk girls head coach. He'll still be there. You'll see him as the band director. You'll see him as the track and field coach. But Tim, really appreciate the time. Loved having you on. This was awesome, man.
Anytime I come in here, anytime we can talk, we'll just chop it up about something.
I like that.
Right?
I like that. That's Tim Gleason, everybody.